Well, high point. Praise God for four-day weekends. Woo! I hope you had an amazing Labor Day. My wife and I, we've been doing premarital with a young couple, and we finally got to marry them. And so I officiated a wedding on Monday, and it was just really amazing. She is Colombian, and the guy is Egyptian. And so we had three different languages spoken at the wedding ceremony: Arabic, English, and Spanish. It was like heaven. It was amazing. And so I co-officiated with one of the pastors of the Arabic church here in town. And so God's doing exciting things in their marriage. So we'll be praying for them. And Dr. Self is currently still suffering for Jesus in Prague and Budapest as he is in Europe. But praise God for the mantle that God has given him with Evangelism Explosion. They just finished up their World Congress for church leaders and national equippers for equipping the global and European church for evangelism. And so we're really excited on how God will use that time. And as he visits with missionary partners, well, I know some of you were here last week and some of you weren't, so I want to just do a quick recap of what we talked about last week, because today we're going to be going on to the part two of Partnering with Jesus, a Missionary Life. And so last week we talked about five life lessons that we could learn from missionaries. One, being humility is the most effective learned skill. Does everyone remember the funny video of the Vikings coming in with their swooping cape and trying to save the day, but actually doing a worse job than things were there before? And so our posture needs to be humility, to come alongside with missionaries. Number two, leverage your gifts, but live from your identity. The Holy Spirit has given us spiritual gifts, and God has entrusted us with talents. And so we need to leverage those for the kingdom, but we live from our identity as beloved sons and daughters. Number three, be okay with being misunderstood and focus in on your calling. A lot of the times, our calling do not match our job titles. And so God has maybe entrusted you into a role for your family or your community, and that's the role that you were called to step into. And a lot of the times, that's where we feel the most fulfillment from. Number four, it's okay to need care. There's a whole department in the missions world called member care. That's the role that I facilitate for our church. And even missionaries need what they're giving, and they need care as well. And number five, prayer. Prayer is the true work. We're going to talk a little bit more about prayer today in Partnering with Jesus. And so where I want to head is I want to start off with, last week we talked about missionaries on the field when we think about the global scale of what God is doing and five lessons we can learn from them. And today when I talk about missionaries, I want to talk about people who live on mission. And as the people of God, that should be us. And so my hesitation to use the word missionary is that we would separate ourselves. And what I want to do in this context is I want to identify ourselves as people who live on mission, who are missionaries. And so life in Christ is about partnering with Jesus. It's one of the greatest joys that we get to have. When we are partnering with Jesus, what we're doing is we're pulling the culture of heaven down to earth. And that overlap is called the kingdom of God. And so we get to be a part of co-laboring and co-building with God for the kingdom of Jesus. And so that's where we're going to be headed today. So I'll pray, and then we'll dive into our first 5 points. Sound great? Let's do it, High Point family. Father, thank you for just the ability to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. Father, thank you for just placing us in the heart of the city. We know that we're not here by accident, but we're here by grand design. So Father, thank you for the community that you've given us, the sphere of influence that you've given us. God, would you speak to us in this time so intentionally that you would prompt us to answer your call and to partnering with you. And so Holy Spirit, we just declare you are the guest of honor here today. Would you be with me? Would you be with us? And Father, would you just speak to us? We're so hungry. We are so hungry to hear from you. And we thank you for your word of God and what you've given us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so number one, partnering with Jesus. This calls for, and this is your first blank, calling on the name of Jesus. Partnering Jesus requires calling on the name of Jesus. And so if we remember, the story that I closed with last week was the story of the little girl praying with a fervent prayer. One of the things we do at Houston's First Baptist Church is we do tipple tours, and this gives future missionaries and members of our church the experience of cross-cultural dynamics and belief systems. And so we go to a Buddhist temple, a Hindu temple, and a mosque. And what happened was we were waiting for one of the monks in one of the Buddhist temples that we used to visit, and this eighth grade girl prayed from the fullness of her heart for God to have his way in that place, and for the tearing down of idols, and for his presence to come in and change that community. And as we went to go revisit 3 weeks later, the entire temple was leveled because the roof collapsed 2 days after with a storm. And immediately, as the monk was telling us what has happened to the temple, my mind was reflecting on that girl's prayers, on a fervent heart, on what the power of prayer can do. Prayer is the true work. And so, of course, the goal is not the tearing down of temples, but it's the building up of our God and us calling on the name of Jesus. And so what is seen is the power of that girl and the fruit from her prayer. But what is unseen is her secret prayer life. And we're going to talk about that. See, Jesus's strategy for calling on the name of the Father was a secret prayer life. Luke 11, once Jesus was in a certain place as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." So what did Jesus teach his disciples to pray? And how did that happen? Matthew 6:6, "But when you pray, go away by yourself and shut the door behind you and pray to the Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you." You see, what we do in secret will eventually be revealed. And Jesus knew the secret of having a prayer life, that intimacy with the Father, and let the world see the fruit of that. And that's what Jesus calls us to when we call on the name of Jesus. But more than calling on the name of Jesus, we need to, point number two, fix our eyes on Jesus. So one, we're calling on the name of Jesus. We're two, fixing our eyes on Jesus himself. As being on staff at Houston's First for the last 5 years, I have a lot of funny stories. Quite frankly, crazy stories. And so I'm going to share one with you. This was at the beginning of my time on staff, and I was learning on calling the name of Jesus. And so I would do these prayer walks in circles around our main campus there at the Loop. And by the sixth lap, there was things that were starting to happen in the natural. There were several flat tires, and so I would stop my prayer walk and I'd help someone change their tire. And the next lap there would be another flat tire. I was just saying, this is interesting. And as I was changing the second flat tire, a car swerved against the railing, hit the railing, and overcorrected and flipped and hit a telephone pole right in front of us. And so the person that I was helping with already, I said, "Call 911," and I ran over. One of the ministers, Kate Trickett, of our Charm Prison Ministry, happened just to be in the area. And so I called her over. We pulled the woman out, and she was on the ground in shock. And just really glad that we were able to be on the scene. And so a couple minutes later, of course, the tow truck drivers are always the first people to be there on the scene. It is crazy how they do that every time. And one of the tow truck drivers actually came up to her as she was just sitting there right on the curb, kind of in the fetal position, just in shock that all this has happened. He said, "Ma'am, you have some things in that car that don't belong there, and the police will show up in a couple of minutes, and I advise you to go take care of that." And so she pops up from the cradle position to popping up, her eyes wide open, runs to the back seat and pulls what looks like a small bag of marijuana. And so at this point, she's looking at me and she's looking at the minister to our prison ministry, Kate Trickett. And Kate Trickett, I will never forget the words that she says. She looks at her dead in the eye and says, "You need to take that to the cross." And what we didn't realize is that she was not looking, the woman, now speaking, was not looking at Kay, but she was looking at our fountain, which had a cross in it. And so she runs and dumps everything in the cross of our main campus, right there at 610 and I-10. And Kay and I looked at each other and said, well, that's not what we had in mind. But at that point, Kay would then begin to lead this woman to Christ. And then she began to come to church on Sunday mornings and being plugged into a life Bible study in the community of our church. You see, calling on the name of Jesus is just the first step, but we need to fix our eyes on Jesus and on the right cross. And so the hard part is getting there. With so many concerns and worries that we have and we carry on a day-to-day basis, Philippians 4, 6 through 7 helps us with that. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. High point, that verse has sustained me for an entire year. With so many stepping out of a season of worrying and with so much need, this verse is what the Father has given me in just such a near and dear time. You see, when we give our eyes to Jesus, he gives us his presence. Did you catch that in verse 7? Then you experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. You see, the strategy of the enemy gets us to worry about the future or feel guilty about the past. What Jesus will always do will get us to lay our eyes on him in the present. Jesus was perfectly present every room he stepped into. And that's what he's inviting us into in Philippians 4, to be present with Jesus, to tell him your needs, and then receive his presence and his comfort, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Number three, partnering with Jesus, and this is one of my favorite, includes resting in Jesus. And high point, I will always, 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 always preach on Sabbath here in this context. And that's because the true work is in resting. Do you remember at the beginning of the year, we had a series called Rest in Work. And this is what God is calling us as the people of God to work from a place of rest. You see, a Sabbath is our spiritual checkup. If we are not taking the Sabbath, we're probably not resting in Jesus. Do you remember the time we talked about the idol of the city being production or productivity? And so what the Sabbath does, it's a heart check to make sure that we're being spiritually influenced by his rest and his presence instead of the culture of always producing. And even the church could be mindful of that here in the city. You see, the Israelites struggle with the tension of my productivity equals my value as well. And that's why God had three distinctives on who he called his people to be. Number one, they had dietary laws. Two, they were circumcised. And three, they kept the Sabbath. Keeping the Sabbath was a key component into the identification of God's people. And us as the church, now God's people, we should still carry that. You see, we do not get our value from what we do. We get our value from who we are in Christ. Hebrews 4 says that again, God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some might fail to experience it. Are we failing to experience God's rest? And that's a key component to partnering with Jesus here on earth. Point number four, partnering with Jesus requires, it is a prerequisite when we are trusting in Jesus. That's your fourth blank, trusting in Jesus. Real fast, I want to brag on my mom real fast. For those who were here, one of the last times I spoke, my mom opened us up in prayer. And as you know, she's a prayer warrior. She's one of the godliest women I know. And it's just a huge honor that she would be my spiritual mom as well as my biological mom. And I am a product of my mother's prayers. And the reason I tell you that is because 6 years ago was my spiritual birthday, my first spiritual birthday, along with Amir. We have a separate 1 month gap of our spiritual birthdays. And what happened in that time was God was doing a drastic change in my life because of her prayers. And one of the first things he told me was to call my mom at 2 a.m. And at that point, we hadn't talked in about a month. There's a lot of circumstances and a long story behind that. But I called her at 2 a.m. crying, finally getting it and experiencing God's love for me and experiencing the gospel for the first time. And I'm so glad I did that, because previously, 2 hours before at midnight, as she was praying in her master bathroom, she got a picture of her putting me on the altar, just like Abraham would put Isaac on the altar, but she was not letting go. And finally, at midnight on November 6, 2012, she let go and she said, "I trust you, Jesus." And I called her with salvation 2 hours later. Now, there's no way I could have known that. And there's no way that you could have planned that better. But trusting in Jesus unlocks doors. And scripture tells us time and time again that faith has a way in the spiritual realm to unlock doors that could have never been opened apart from him. How do we know this? Hebrews 11:6. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him earnestly. Luke 7, 1 through 10. This is a key story. And the reason I have this whole long passage in here is because I want us to understand that God responds to our faith. This is the story of the centurion man. And I'm going to read just verses 1 through 10. And let this speak over you. And let the Father speak to us in this time. This is Luke 7, 1 through 10. At the time, there was a highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near to death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him and to come heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. "If anyone deserves your help, he does," they said, "for he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us." So Jesus went with them. But just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, "Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I'm not even worthy of such an honor. I'm not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed." Wow, that's faith. "I know this because I'm under the authority of my superior officers, and I have the authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, 'Go,' and they go, or 'Come,' and they come. And if I say to my slaves, 'Do this,' they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, "I tell you this, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel." And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave completely healed. Do you see the amazement to Jesus? That he celebrated his faith. And for us partnering with Jesus, it requires us trusting him, because he unlocks the doors. You see, trusting Jesus and partnering with Jesus is not about what we can do, but what about we believe he can do. And that's the joy that we get to be a part of, is partnering with him and seeing him do what only he can do. And number 5, partnering with Jesus is responding to Jesus. So let's revisit. We're going to call on the name of Jesus. Our eyes are going to be fixated on the person of Jesus. We're going to be resting in the person and presence of Jesus. And lastly, we're going to trust him, because only he can do what we're truly asking, which is the impossible. And so how do we respond to Jesus? Well, that's the easy part, because once we do those 4, we just need to follow his promptings. And so John 15 is one of my favorite passages. It's about abiding. And abiding is the daily ritual of us being one with Christ. And one of the passages it says is, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." And I want to confess, one of my biggest fears in life is that I've been a part of good things and even great things, but I would miss the moments to be a part of eternal things. And so us as the people of God, and in your workplaces and in your communities and in your homes, if the Holy Spirit is prompting you to reach out to someone or to pray for someone, please do that, because that is an invitation to be a part of what's happening eternally. And so this often happens. I'm going to give you a heads up. The Holy Spirit will often prompt you when it's most inconvenient because it's a test. Will we be able to step into what God has for us in our daily lives? In the missions office at Houston's First, Matthew 28, we say, go and make disciples. And in that go is, as you live your life, go. Now, sure, do we commission people all across the world? Absolutely, because there's people and families who have that calling. But as we go today, and as you step into your workplaces, and as you step into your homes, there's invitations to be a part of what heaven is up to around us. And we get to be a part of it. And that is what it looks like to partner with Jesus. It's always an honor. Next week, I believe we'll have Dr. Self back in the house. And so really excited to hear about his journey to Europe and Evangelism Explosion, World Congress. And as always, please come down and share some encouragement. If you need any prayer, there's Amir, Stephen, and Jake and I, we'd love to pray for you, or even Rick. Rick was recently ordained, so so good to have you, Rick, here in the house. So let's pray. And as we go today, let's fixate our minds on partnering with Jesus. Father, we just give you our hearts and we give you our eyes, knowing that when we give you something, you're giving us something way bigger in return. And we thank you for never withholding anything from us. Father, we thank you for giving us your presence, your empowerment, your peace, and your comfort. God, as we go back to our workplaces, as we go and step into every meeting and every room, God, I ask that there just be a subtle calmness, that we would know that we carry your presence and your grace. And so would you allow us to partner with you here today? And would you allow us to pull heaven down here on earth so that we could establish your kingdom, Jesus? Again, it's an honor to be a part of something way bigger than ourselves. And so we respond to you here today. In your name we pray, amen. We'll see you next week. This house was built for worship. This house was built.